Hail, full of grace. Hail, full of grace. Hail, full of grace. I almost feel like that could be my whole homily today. But I'll say a little bit more. I am Dominican. Did you ever hear what Fulton J. Sheen said about the Immaculate Conception? He says, "It used to be that only we Catholics believed in the Immaculate Conception. But now it seems that everybody thinks that they are immaculate." So what do we make of this mystery in a world that seems to have forgotten that there is such thing as sin, in a world that where people seem offended by the very mention that we may be sinners, we might have sins to repent for? And it's true, you know, as some of our Protestant friends have objected, that you don't find an explicit statement of the Immaculate Conception in the Scriptures. And yet I think that this is what makes the church living and vital, is that reflecting and praying and meditating more and more deeply through the centuries on that very phrase, full of grace. The church has come to a deeper understanding of just how great that fullness of grace is, that in preparing Our Lady to be the mother of Jesus, He worked out her salvation in the greatest possible way, not only by cleansing her of sin that had already been contracted, but by preserving her from any stain of sin at all. I was just wondering, as we were doing the Confiteor, what if Mary went to Mass, what would she do during the Confiteor? I guess she would just silently stand there without having any sins to confess. But I think that we, you know, the collect prayer today really sums up what we believe about Mary's Immaculate Conception and what it means for us. O God, who by the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin prepared a worthy dwelling for your Son. Prepared a worthy dwelling for your Son. And we can look at the whole history of salvation, God's work in creation, in the people of Israel, in the temple, and of course, finally, in Jesus Christ, as preparing a worthy dwelling, because He wants to dwell with His people. He wants to be with His people. He wants to be among us. And He wants to do in us what He first did in Jesus and what He first did in the highest way in the Virgin Mary. He wants to prepare us so that we can be a fit dwelling for the Lord. And so we see in the reading from Genesis the story of sin entering the world. But then we know that God had a plan from that very moment. Well, He had a plan from eternity. But at this moment, as soon as sin enters the world, He begins the process of healing. He promises a Savior, and He promises that the offspring of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul makes clear that the people that Jesus was to save were part of His plan the whole time. You have been chosen in Christ. You have been chosen in Christ. What He did in Mary, He wants to do in all of us. For the rest of us, yes, it takes time. We have to go through the pain of sin and suffering and the regret of sins that we ourselves have committed. But nobody gets to heaven without being a saint. And so, willingly or not, God is asking you to be a saint, and he will make you immaculate with your cooperation when you get to heaven. What he did in Mary is what he wants to do in us. And so we have great confidence in the saying, "Hail, full of grace. Hail, full of grace." We have great confidence in Mary's motherhood. And, you know, it might seem like, oh, such a holy person. They seem so far away. They seem so distant. But it's the very holiness that brings her closer to sinners and gives her greater love and can give us greater confidence in placing our prayers in her hands. Do you pray the rosary? It might be a good day to commit yourself to that, or to pick it up again if you used to. It's been highly recommended by many saints for many, many centuries in the church, and it's a great means to holiness. Hail, full of grace. Hail, full of grace.